Well, we begin now Holy Week, the holiest of times in the liturgical calendar, the holiest week of the year. And Lent has been all about preparation, of course. We've talked about that a lot. But Holy Week is even more intense because we're actually not just preparing, but we're kind of following the timeline of our Lord's week from his entry into Jerusalem until his crucifixion on Calvary. And we're not only following it, we're supposed to enter into it, you know, to meditate upon our Lord's passion. That's what the saints say is the most fruitful subject of meditation is our Lord's passion. Because unless we understand how much our Lord suffered for us, we won't really have even a close understanding of how much he loved us. That's why we meditate on his passion and suffering. There's no joy in that. The joy is in recognizing he suffered this much because he loved me that much. And as I said, we're supposed to enter into it and meditate upon it. But I mean that in a very literal way, enter into it. You know, we just had kind of a dramatic reading of it where, you know, we all gave voice to the various characters in that historical event of our Lord's Passion. But we really were present there, not just symbolically. You know, we put our Lord to death, not just the people that were there at that time 2,000 years ago. We were the ones clamoring for his crucifixion. And again, I don't mean that dramatically. We were there. Our sins put our Lord to death. It wasn't just the sins of those who were there. It was our sins. When our Lord was suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane, what was causing him such a burden was the sins of all of humanity, of all time. He had our sins, my sins, your sins, sins that future generations, he had them in his mind, on his shoulders, specifically, because he died specifically for each one of us. And his death purchased our redemption and forgiveness from all sins that we have committed, that we might commit. He made it possible for us to be redeemed from those things. So he had everyone's sin, those who came before him in history, from the very beginning until the very end of time, those who haven't even come yet. All of those sins weighed on him. All of those sins were present to his mind. And that's what I mean when I say we were present there. Not just commemorating it, we were present there. We were part of the crowd. And our sins contributed to that death-dealing sentence. We are always, whenever we sin, we choose something other than Christ. And the interesting kind of linguistic thing here is when they chose Barabbas, Baraba, it means son of the Father. You know, whenever we sin, we choose a false Messiah. Right? We choose a false salvation. So they chose the son of the Father, this murderer and insurrectionist, over the son of the eternal Father. And we do that every time we sin. Right? We choose some fleeting, lowly good instead of the truly eternal Son of God who died for our salvation. So we enter into that, and we identify ourselves with that crowd because of our sin. But something I want to offer to you as a different perspective on it is, even though every year we talk about knowing that we were there and we were part of the crowd and we can see ourselves in the crowd calling for his death, it's important that you also see that you were present as comforting him and consoling him as well. And again, I mean that in a literal way. Just as our Lord had present in his mind all of our sins, individual sins of each of us when he died, and he died willing to redeem us from all of those sins, so also he had in his mind every act of love that we did out of love for him, or will do out of love for him, every sacrifice we make to unite ourselves more closely to him. And it's hard to get our mind around that, because he was the Son of God, is the Son of God, he is eternal, and even though he died and everything we just read happened 2,000 years ago, it also is present outside of time and history. For example, whenever we celebrate Mass, as you know, we are made present at Calvary. We don't sacrifice our Lord again or anything like that. We're made present there because it was an act of God, and so it's present for all eternity. So when I choose to make a sacrifice now or next week or next year, and I choose to make a sacrifice to unite myself more closely to our Lord's passion, or I do some act of love, self-sacrificial love or generosity out of love for God, I consoled him and lessened his sufferings then, during his passion. It's an amazing thing. But we too often think about how my sins now or my sins in the future were on his shoulders then, but we don't think about how if I choose to ignore an opportunity for love or service or self-sacrificial love, I actually intensify his sufferings then, 2,000 years ago. It's amazing. That's what it means that our Lord did this. That he has access to all of our acts and thoughts done for him or against him. And so to choose to do something out of love for someone gives him comfort then, gave him comfort then. If I didn't offer a sacrifice now, or next week, or next year, or whatever, his suffering would have been worse then. Whenever we pray the Stations of the Cross, some of the meditations talk about consoling our Lord as he walks to Calvary. And I think most of the time we think about that as some kind of like poetic way of talking about it. But don't think about it that way. If our Lord can die for the sin I committed in our day and age, or will commit years from now, or that future generations will commit years from now, and that was present on the cross, so are my acts of love. So are my acts of sacrifice and penance. Those mitigate his suffering. That's the connection we have to our Lord. And that's why during Holy Week we should enter into this drama, not just seeing ourselves symbolically in something that happened in the past, but seeing ourselves as real characters in something that we have an effect on now. That I can identify with all kinds of people in the drama of Holy Week. For example, the event that we reflect on today, our Lord entering into Jerusalem triumphantly, victoriously with palms a week before he was put to death, I can see myself in that crowd, but think about how much of a mixed bag that crowd was. You probably had people that were disciples, faithful disciples of our Lord, and were truly rejoicing when he came into Jerusalem, and were sorrowing when he was walking to Calvary. There were also people that were probably there not knowing what was going on, right? And they were indifferent. And then when he was walking to Calvary, they were indifferent. They didn't care. We can identify with that in some portions of our life where we feel indifferent or we're not really minding our Lord too much or directing our thoughts to him too much. There were probably those also who were rejoicing at his entry into Jerusalem, but then also were present in the crowd clamoring for his crucifixion. We can identify with that. You know, our fickle will. Sometimes we feel like we're really close to the Lord, but then we reject him. We can identify probably with the Pharisees as well. You know, when our Lord, we read the words of our Lord, or we hear that something we're doing is not right, and we want to silence him. We want to silence that voice, and so we push him away. We can identify with that. But I'd ask you also to identify with Veronica, right, who consoled him by wiping his face. To identify with Simon, who helped him carry his cross, even if at first reluctantly. To identify with the women who consoled him on his way to Calvary. To identify with the soldier who said this truly was the Son of God. Because we are present across the board in all of that. Sometimes we might be Judas. Sometimes we might be Peter, who denies him. But sometimes we might be Veronica. Sometimes we might be Simon. And so don't take opportunities for sacrifice and acts of love lightly, because you really enter into our Lord's heart and mind, and you console him on the cross. You console him on the way to Calvary whenever you do an act of love. So yes, we were part of the crowd that cried for and continued to cry for his crucifixion. But we can also continue to be those in the crowd who united themselves to him in love and gave him great consolation in the midst of intense suffering.